Hey there, podcast listener. We've got a new episode coming up for you today. But before we get started, I want to talk to you about supporting our show and your local public radio station. So we know that you listen to Latino USA because you value what we do. But I know you listen to Latino USA not just because of value, but because you love what we do, because you trust what we do, because you love the stories that we tell and how we tell them. In fact, Latino USA and your local public radio station are your reliable, credible sources of information. In 2018, NPR has been there to bring you the bigger picture, helping lots of audiences to understand what's happening here in the U.S. and how it impacts other places in the world. And our network brings all of this right home to you. So public radio is possible, but it's not possible without you. You, the listener, are the person who makes it possible. You, in fact, are essential. You're the core of everything that we do, why we produce the stories that we produce, the stories that we tell. It's actually all for you. And we rely on you for your feedback, your support, and your donations. By making an end-of-the-year gift to your NPR station, you'll be supporting the stories that matter to you. So support Latino USA and your local public radio station by donating today. Visit donate.npr.org/Latino USA. And thank you. Muchas gracias. From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Over the last few weeks, as thousands of migrants have arrived at U.S. ports of entry, the situation at the U.S.-Mexico border has become tense. BuzzFeed reporter Adolfo Flores has been on the ground in Tijuana. Today, he takes us there to show us the human consequences of this wave of migration.
They've been traveling by foot for days. Among them, mothers carrying young children, men being pushed in wheelchairs.
For months, we've been hearing about a large group of Central American migrants traveling together for safety. They call themselves La Caravana, or the Caravan. President Trump made sure that voters knew about this during the run-up to the midterm elections.
To the lawless caravans and to the illegal trespassers marching toward our border, it's very simple. Turn back now. Go back home. We will not let you in.
And after more than a month, the caravan finally made it to Tijuana, where things got out of control a couple of weeks ago.
U.S. Border Patrol agents deployed tear gas on Central Americans seeking asylum. This does include women and children.
Exasperated caravan members staged a protest in Mexico that ended up with Border Patrol agents firing tear and pepper gas into the crowd from the United States. We wanted to get a sense of what these migrants are going through. So we called up Adolfo Flores. He's a national security correspondent for BuzzFeed News. And he traveled with one of the migrant caravans for many days and has now spent time in Tijuana in the weeks after they've arrived at the border city.
You're having hundreds and hundreds of people show up and ask for asylum, and they're being turned away. The list is now over 5,000 people long, and people get desperate.
There are few reporters who have witnessed as much as Adolfo has in terms of this story, and we're so happy to have you here on Latino USA, Adolfo Flores.
Thanks for having me.
You actually traveled with one of the caravans from Central America. What's the real story about what's going on with these caravans as they're making their way north?
One of my favorite things about being there is just sort of seeing how, you know, life just continues as it would normally. You know, people falling in love, people breaking up, people making new friends, arguing. People are moving forward and they're doing their best. It's just what you would expect if you put a group of 5,000 people together from any country anywhere. You just get everything.
The way you're talking about the people on the caravan, Adolfo, it's like you're lending them a sense of humanity. You know, as you say, life goes on.
Yeah, you know, you just see these moments, like people doing their hair, their makeup, playing and joking. The kids are very, very resilient. These kids were getting up at 5 in the morning and walking for hours. They didn't always have the right shoes. Sometimes they were in sandals. And yet they just kept going. And they also have a really good sense of humor. Just the other day, I was with a group of people who were trying to cross over. And after they failed to cross the border, I asked a father, why didn't you hire a smuggler? Why are you trying to do this on your own? And the 10-year-old son he was with looks at me and says, we can't afford to eat. How are we going to afford coyote? And he said it in a joking way, and you know, we both laughed. But, you know, he's 10 years old. I just was sort of struck by the joke.
Is there a particular moment, Adolfo, that kind of stays with you?
Oh, man. I covered the spring caravan, so I have, you know, I think moments from there. But for this caravan, I think it was, honestly, a huddling in bushes with families who wanted to cross over. You know, they had been desperate. Been waiting in Tijuana for 2 weeks. You know, it rained on them. They weren't getting enough food. So they were just desperate, and they decided they were going to try to jump the fence. And I was with them, and just the level of desperation and the hope that they had, not only for what their life would look like in the U.S., but how much hope they had in that moment to cross over. And I think it was hard for me because I knew that the chances of them going over and not getting caught, if that was their goal, were very slim. Other people wanted to get caught. They just wanted to ask for asylum because the waiting list in Tijuana was very long. But I think for me, just that sense of desperation, feeling it in that moment was something I hadn't felt before. And as someone that covers immigration and speaks with immigrants, you would think that I wouldn't be surprised. But I think it's very different when you're hiding with people like that.
What's the feeling of the people who are in the caravan? What's their feeling about not only why they joined, but what are they expecting when they get to the United States? Or what do you think they were expecting when they would get to the United States?
Yeah, I think they thought it would be easier to cross into the U.S. when they got here to the border. They did not expect the pushback they've received. They also did not expect this feeling of being unwelcomed in Tijuana.
Por favor, y no queremos que vengan más migrantes a Playa de Tijuana. Okay?
Because throughout Mexico, for the most part, every town and city they stopped and received them and helped them. But I do think some people had been misinformed about what it was like here. I spoke with someone who was self-deporting last week, and he said, this is not what my friends told me. This is not what the media back home told me. I want to go home. He said he was looking for the American dream, and all he found was a nightmare.
Coming up on Latino USA.
From one day to the next, you could just see that the people were defeated.
Stay with us. No te vayas.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Vice News, launching a new podcast, Chapo, Kingpin on Trial, about drug kingpin Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, with versions in both English and Spanish. Over the course of 8 episodes, Vice News will journey across Mexico and the U.S. to meet people affected by El Chapo and the drug war. Listen to Chapo, Kingpin on Trial, for free, exclusively on Spotify, in both English and Spanish. Support also comes from BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment at your convenience. Get help at your own time and your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions. Plus, chat and text with your therapist. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
Hey, everyone. I'm Robin Hilton with All Songs Considered, NPR's weekly music discovery podcast. We know it's hard to keep up with all the great albums coming out each week, so every Friday we do a quick run through the most essential releases. Get new music Friday from All Songs Considered in the NPR One app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're back, and we're speaking with BuzzFeed's national security correspondent, Adolfo Flores, about the situation with the caravan at the U.S.-Mexico border. So can you tell us what happened, kind of step by step, about 2 weeks ago at the border in Tijuana, when suddenly you have Customs and Border Patrol agents from the United States firing canisters of potentially tear gas into Mexico?
So in, leading up to it, some people were able to breach the first of two barriers in this area by these train tracks. And then that's when the tear gas came. And it was just chaos. People running back in.
Me golpearon con una bomba. Mira, ve mi mano.
People like grabbing their kids and trying to get away from the gas. Even before the gas, it was chaotic because the Mexican federal police had blocked the group of about 500 marchers who were heading towards the border crossing in Tijuana. Then the people ran through a side street towards it, and any sense of control was sort of lost at that point. And then after the gas, the tear gas and the pepper pellets, people were scared. Kids were crying. It was a mess.
I have to say that there have been, as I've been looking at what's happening with these camps in Tijuana and with all of the rains and the water, you know, I've heard stories now that the water is basically everywhere. It's destroyed documents for some people who were protecting them, and now this water has gotten everywhere. Can you describe what you've seen just recently as the rains have come and the floods have come? And what this has been like to see that this is where people are being forced to sleep, outside, wet, with children. And I think in one of your stories you were saying it's like the kids are sick everywhere.
Yeah, it's when the rains came last week, what was already a very difficult situation was made just 10 times worse. Everything was wet. People's clothes, you know, the few that they had were drenched. They weren't lucky enough to have a tarp or something to protect them from the water, and many weren't. Or people getting sick, you know, they were coughing. A lot of the kids had a cold. From one day to the next, you could just see that the people were defeated.
I'm wondering, Adolfo, when you had a chance to speak with some of the people who are making their way north with hopes of getting to the United States, did they talk about what they hoped their lives might look like or what they hoped the United States could give to them?
Yeah, all they wanted was to provide for their family back home. You know, I want to help my grandma, my mother who's sick, my kids. I want to be able to send my kids to school. They didn't have these big dreams of being, you know, a millionaire. You know, they just want some stability, financial stability. When you speak with younger people, a lot of them talk about wanting an opportunity to go to school, to go to college. There was a 12-year-old who was sanding wood at a furniture store in Honduras because he couldn't afford to go to school and his family needed money. And he wasn't making a lot. So he said he just really wanted to get to the U.S. where he could go to school and be someone.
Thank you, Adolfo, for speaking with us on Latino USA.
Thank you for having me.
Adolfo Flores is national security correspondent for BuzzFeed News. This episode was produced by Antonia Cerejido and Miguel Macias and edited by Sofia Palizaca. The Latino USA team includes Maggie Freeling, Janice Yamoka, Sayer Quevedo, and Maya Cueva, with help from Fernanda Chavarri. Our senior editor is Marlon Bishop. Our engineer is Stephanie LeBeau. Additional engineering this week by Rebecca Weinman. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholz. Our fellow is Jesse Alejandro Cottrell. Our interns are Paula Mora and Comis Johnson. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. And if you like the music you heard on this episode, be sure to stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. And one more thing for all of you podcast listeners. If you can get to Apple Podcasts and rate and review Latino USA, this helps other listeners to find us. And also, please keep your comments coming. We love reading them. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. Hasta la próxima. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by Winecoat Foundation and the Marguerite Casey Foundation. Change for families by families. And the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, a conversation with Academy Award-winning director Alfonso Cuarón. His new film, Roma, is about the Mexico City neighborhood where he grew up and about the indigenous woman who raised him. That's next time on Latino USA. Hey, it's me again, and I hope you enjoyed the show today. I know I did. And this is just a reminder to please take just a little minute from your day to make this show possible by contributing. Support Latino USA and your local public radio station by donating today. Visit donate.npr.org/LatinoUSA. Gracias.